Christians to think. So far, we've looked at the need to have faithful thinking, biblical thinking, courteous thinking, pure thinking, clear thinking, peaceful thinking, and humble thinking. And on a number of occasions in this series, I have made reference to Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, and we'll go back there again tonight. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, now that's the one I want to talk about tonight. Whatsoever things are true, and then there's further things listed here, and then he closes by saying, think on these things. Now don't forget that you are what you think, and you do what you think, and you become what you think. And you may not think much about what you do, but you think about everything before you do it. I've heard it said about the English language because of the difficulty. I've heard it said that those who try to learn the English language, I haven't learned it yet, learn the English language, that one of the great difficulties is that one word can mean so many different things. And tonight we're going to look at one such word, as you saw there in Philippians 4:8, the word true. Whatsoever is true. Now, what does the word true call to your mind? I looked in the dictionary, found at least six or five usages of the word true. First of all, it means being honest. That's normally the way I think of it. Being honest, and so we say that was a true story. Then it also means being loyal. You've heard the expression, he is true blue. Well, that's what it means, to be loyal. Then the word is used to mean something accurate, as we would say that is a true measure. It's also used to mean something that's genuine, as we would say that is a true diamond. It also means something that is conformity to something. And there we would say, he is a true Republican. He is a true Democrat. He has conformed to that political way of thinking. Now, it's in this fifth usage tonight that I want to deal with the word true. The definition being conformity. As we would say, he is a true Christian. What is a true Christian? He is one who has conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's a true Christian. Hopefully we are all conforming. None of us have yet reached that point where we are totally conformed, but hopefully we are conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, the only way that you're going to conform to Christ is you're going to have thoughts that will make you compatible, agreeable, like-minded, harmonious, congenial with Christ. And thus tonight I want to talk about the power of compatible thinking. The power of compatible thinking. For that is the mark of a true Christian. I will say it again. The mark of a true Christian is that they have the power of compatible thinking. Have you ever heard the expression true love? True love? There's no way in the world to have true love until you first learn to think on how to conform, on how to be compatible. If you never learn how to be compatible with another person, you never will know anything about true love. And so the first requirement in attempting to love anyone is to learn how to make yourself agreeable. If you can't get along with someone, you're not going to have much success at loving them. So learning how to be acceptable, learning how to be compatible, is the first requirement in attempting to love someone. Now look at Amos 3:3. Amos asked the question. It's the question that the Lord gave to him. Verse 3, let's think of verse word. Hear this word that the Lord spoke against you, O children of Israel. So it's something the Lord has said. Here is the question, verse 3. Can two people walk together? Can two people be in harmony? Can two people get along with each other? Can two people be friends with each other? I'm using some things that's not in here now. Can two walk together except they learn how to agree? Now that's the secret of compatibility, is agreement. Have you ever heard what God called Abraham? Look at James 2:23. This is the only place in the Bible anyone has ever called this. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Anytime that you can find someone who desires and thinks about ways to be compatible with you, you found yourself a friend. But no one who desires to be compatible with you and thinks of ways to go about being agreeable with you will never truly be your friend. Now I use that word true. Never will. Look at Proverbs 18:24, for it tells you how to become a friend. Proverbs 18:24. A man that desires to have friends must learn how to show himself friendly. And there is a friend, or there is a kind of friend, that will stick even closer to you than a brother. What kind of friend is that? It's a friend who has his mind set on being compatible. Not even brothers sometimes desire to be agreeable with brothers. You have brothers and sisters fighting with each other as they grow up. That's not compatibility. And so you can find sometimes a person who will be a closer friend to you than a brother, and that's a friend who is willing to set their mind on the ways to be compatible with you. A friend is a person who tries to think of what it will take to make that person agreeable. If I decide to choose you as a friend, then it's going to be up to me to try to figure out what it is that I must do to be agreeable with you. And if I don't take time to do that, and I don't care about what is going to be agreeable, if I don't care about being congenial, if I don't care about being compatible, then really and truly I'm not concerned about being your friend. If I don't care how you think, if I don't care about what you want, if I don't care about what you like, brethren, I never will be your friend. Now, I can be an acquaintance, but I can't be a friend unless I desire to set my mind on figuring out ways to be compatible. I mean, you get a lot of folks today get married who want to be acquaintances, but they don't want to be friends. And you have women going out seeking somebody else to find a friend, and the husband's not a friend, and you find men who can't have friends in their wives because neither one is trying to be compatible. And you know what they say when they go to the divorce court? We're incompatible. That's right. You can be compatible only if you set your mind to it. And if you don't have the desire to pay the cost to be agreeable, you're always going to be incompatible. And it's all done right up there in the mind. You think it to do it. If you don't think it, you never will do it. It's a lot of trouble to be a friend to somebody. The trouble is, it requires a lot of thinking, a lot of planning, a lot of investigation into your life. If I want to be compatible to you, I've got to learn all about you. A lot of men, a lot of women, don't want to take that time. They just want a companion. But brethren, if you don't have a friend who you're married to, your marriage is in real jeopardy. And that's why so many marriages break up on the grounds of incompatibility. Neither one was trying to be agreeable. Well, that should be the number one goal as you enter into courtship, much less marriage. If you can't agree before you get married, for goodness sakes, don't get married. If you can't be a friend before you say I do, don't say I do. If there's any two people I believe God intended to be friends, it's a man and his wife. And it's tragic how many marriages today where you don't have friends married to each other. That's tragic. And that's sad. And they say, well, I don't love them. You never did love them. You don't understand true love. True love always seeks to be compatible. People say, well, I lost my love. No, you never had a love. You never did love them. Not truly in the sense that you wanted to be their friend. You never did love them. And it's also because of this that I think you have to be very selective in those you choose to make your friends. And this is why the Bible is so cautious about walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. I mean, it's very serious business when you choose another person to be their friend. I mean, that's very serious. Why? Because it obligates you to be compatible to them. If I come seeking you to be your friend, then you're going to set the terms of that friendship. You didn't seek me, I sought you. Thus, I am forced to be agreeable with you. I am forced to be compatible with you. I cannot ask that you agree with me and that you be compatible to me unless that's the desire of yours. If you don't want to be my friend, then I'll never receive that compatible consideration that I'm willing to give. Now, I can still choose to be compatible with you, even if you don't choose to be compatible with me. I can love you truly, even if you don't choose to love me truly. But brethren, it's a dangerous thing for me to choose to love someone when I have to be agreeable to them. If in being agreeable to them, I become disagreeable to Christ. Because you see, if I become compatible, I am conforming myself by my own willpower and freedom of choice to be just like you. That's dangerous. Unless I don't mind being just like you. What do you think compatibility is? It's two peas in a pod. Compatibility to Christ means I'm going to try to be just like Him. I'm not asking Him to be just like me. I think in a marriage of compatibility, the man becomes more like the wife every year, and she becomes more like him. There is an infusion of oneness there that's almost inseparable. You see one, you've seen the other. They begin to think alike, talk alike, look alike, act alike. I mean, they're just alike. Why? Because they have conformed themselves to the image of each other. It's quite an honor for somebody to come to you and say, hey, I want to be your friend. I want to be just like you. Because you see, Amos said that's the terms of friendship. That's the terms of walking together. And that's quite a price to pay. If I say I want to be compatible to you, then I'm going to have to sit down and think about ways to be with you, to be like you, to please you, to give you things that I know you'd like to have. That becomes a driving goal of true love. It becomes an obsession of one who desires to be compatible above all things. It gives you a tremendous control over a person who's seeking you out as their friend. I mean, you have great control of them. For if they truly want to be compatible, they will have to do anything I ask them to do. So the Bible says, be cautious when you seek out a person and say, I want to be your friend. You're laying yourself wide open. Any command that they give, and that's the price of their friendship. You must do for me what I want, or I will not be your friend. That's the whole game of friendship. Now, what you have to hope for is that they want you to be their friend, and then you have an equality or an equal balance here. A check and balance, as you put that way, where neither one of us will take advantage of the other because we both have the same feeling about desiring to be compatible. Whatever things will enable me to express true love for Christ, whatever I can think would please Him, would make Him happy, that I'm to think about these things. In so doing, I will find myself doing those things. by being here tonight, by being here on Sunday morning, what you're saying to Christ is, I want to be compatible. That's really what you're saying, people. I don't know whether you realize it or not. I want to be where you are. Undoubtedly, Christ is here. He must be here because He wants to be here. And so if you want to be with Him, if you want to please Him, then you must want to do what He wants to do. That's compatibility. And that's the way He looks at it. I believe Jesus would say if He was here, if you were my friend, you would be here. I have no doubt in my mind people would say that. If you want to be my friend. Now I'll show you a minute why I say that. In American society, I don't know about the other societies of the world, but we have a concept about love that I think is false. I know I'll never change the concept, but anyway, to me it's a false concept. And it is a concept that you can fall in love. I don't believe that's true. In any way, you don't fall in love. You can fall into an infatuation with someone. But love, why, it is a planned, determined activity. God just didn't fall in love with the lost sinners. God planned to so love the world. He planned to give His only begotten Son. He planned to come down to earth. He planned to love Him. Love all of us. He planned it. Well thought out, detailed plan. God just didn't fall in love with us. And true love is always planned. It's not a feeling. And this again is another concept I think. People say, well, I hear bells and I hear trains and I hear horns and I get cold bumps all over. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's Hollywood dribble. Love is a willingness to conform. Love is a giving. Love is a drive. Love is a determination. Love is a planned activity. That's why the Bible gives you a command, love the Lord. Well, I don't feel like it's got nothing to do with feeling. Love is subject to the willpower of your mind. If I say I will love you, I will do it. It's got nothing. My heart may be as cold as an iceberg. But if I make that decision in my mind, I can do it. How do I do it? I just do whatever I think is necessary to make you happy. To help you get what you want. Help you enjoy what I know you enjoy. That's all I have to do. All I have to do is give you something you want. And that's love. I think if I do it for a while, I'll get the feeling. A lot of folks wait on the feeling before they decide what they're going to do. I think you ought to go ahead and decide what you're going to do and then let the feeling tag along afterwards. It will. It'll come along. But the feeling is immaterial. You see, love is a servant of our will. My love must go where I send it. My love must do what I tell it to. It has no option. You don't fall in love by accident. You create the incident. So love always begins in the will. We set our mind to love God. Just set our mind to go to church, and you set your mind to love God. Just set your mind to watch your mouth so it doesn't cuss, and you set your mind to love God. Just that simple. Nothing to it. See, love just says, I care about what you care about. And I'm looking for ways to prove to you that I care about what you care about. That's all love is about. That's what love's about in the Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Notice what Paul says here about himself. He says, the love of Christ constrains us. Now, most commentators interpret that to mean Paul is talking about Christ's love for him constrains him to serve the Lord, to bear up under all kinds of difficulties. I like to take issue with that. I don't doubt the Lord loves us. That's not, to me, a question that needs to be answered. But I maintain what Paul is saying here is that he had a determined desire to be compatible with Christ. It was a burning desire to love Christ, and it constrained his action. I think the thought crossed Paul's mind many times. What can I do to prove to Christ that I'm his friend? What can I do to prove to Christ I love him? What can I do to prove to Christ that I want to be compatible with him, that I want to be agreeable with him, that I want to share in his life? How can I prove this? Whatever answers he came up with, he says, constrained him, compelled him, forced him into various activities for Christ. Love is anxious to think of ways to prove itself compatible. To say the least, and I guess I'm repeating myself, it gets costly when you try to be somebody's friend. It can get costly when you strive to love someone. It becomes very costly. I want to say this also, you better study what a person is like before you decide to be their friend. Because if you know what a person is like, then you're going to know what they're going to expect of you and demand of you and want from you and ask of you. Now, Jesus is no exception to this rule. Sad to say, a lot of folks want to get saved who do not want to be the friend of Christ, and that's tragic. Again, I guess you can blame the preacher's desire to fill the church with new members on this. A lot of folks never think they have to be a friend of Jesus. Just get saved, and he's my friend, and we'll sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus," and he'll have one friend the whole church. No one wants to be compatible to him. No one wants to serve him. Nobody wants to be agreeable with him. Nobody wants to please him. Nobody wants to prove to him they love him. It's tragic. No wonder the Bible only lists one person God ever said was his friend. Now, I think there were others who were the friend of God. That's quite a compliment. But the Lord doesn't find many folks who want to pay the price to be his friend. And Christ leaves no doubt in our minds as to what it's going to take to prove ourselves his friend. John 15:14. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. All you familiar with the picture of the girl who picks the daisy? One petal after another, she says, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not." And hopefully when she gets down to the last petal, she'll be able to say, "He loves me." Now that's a poor way to test whether or not a boy loves a girl. Now there is a simple test in the Bible to be used in determining whether or not we love Jesus. And it's not picking a daisy and saying, "I love him, I don't love him, I love him, I don't." And that's not the way you do it. And I believe most Christians today refuse to face up to this test to begin with. And even if they take it, they refuse to face up to the test being accurate. I know of no other test the Bible gives as to whether or not you love Christ than this one test. And most folks just never use it. I guess we don't want people testing our love, and we don't want to test our own love. Maybe we're afraid of the answer. We'll find out. John 14:15. If you love me, now here's the test. He said, if you love me, you'll prove it by keeping my commandments. Now that's not real difficult to understand. Rather simple. I guess the most serious question tonight that you could ask anybody is, do you truly love Jesus Christ? It's surely a question I can't answer for you. But it's not a question you can't answer. Because, well, I don't know. There's an answer. Just apply the test. Somehow we've managed to separate love for Christ from obedience to his will. And somehow the commandments of the Lord only to us speak of what is right and what is wrong. Most Christians never consider the commandments of God also reveal the level of their love for Christ. Never look at God's commandments in that way. And daily the world and the flesh and the devil are forcing us to take a stand one way or the other for or against the commandments of Jesus every day. Every day. And either we side with him, becoming his friend, or we side with the world and the flesh and the devil, proving that we're the friend of the world. It's either one way or the other every day. And the whole matter is decided how you are thinking in your mind. If you plan to be compatible today, if you plan to be agreeable tomorrow with Christ, If you plan to take your stand on the commandments of Christ, if you plan today in your mind to please Him tomorrow, do whatever He asks, go wherever He goes, do whatever He wants, if you plan today to do that, you'll probably do it tomorrow. But if you don't, you won't. And if you do it, I believe there is a cross sometimes you have to bear because you took your stand with Christ. Any time that I take my stand with you as a friend, the chances may be you just may need something that's going to put a cross in my life, be a burden to me. It's going to cost me dearly. But now if I'm your friend, I'll pay the price. I'll meet the cost. I'll bear the cross, whatever it is. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. He says there will come a time when your loyalty to me, to prove your love to me, will mean you're going to have to take up that cross and carry it. Now, is it costing me anything today to follow Christ? If I say, no, it's not costing me anything, then I have no proof to offer anyone, especially myself, that I love Christ. I have no proof at all. I have no proof that I have been thinking about ways of being compatible. If it's not costing me anything today to follow Christ. Now, if I want to be the friend of Christ, there's some things I have to know about Him. If I'm going to be compatible with anybody, I have to know about Him. I have to know what He likes and what He dislikes. You know that? Do you really know what Christ likes? Do you know what He dislikes? Over the years of my marriage, I know some of the things my wife likes, and I know some things she dislikes. And I catch my time several times avoiding the things that she dislikes. It takes time to know that. It takes time to learn that. I must also know what His plans are and what His wishes are. Do you know that? What are His plans? What are His wishes? I must also know His concerns and His burdens. How am I going to find that out? Got to read the book. And that's why Paul told Timothy, study, study to show thyself approved. Approved as what? Approved as a friend. You got to study to do that. See, I'm not going to be of much help to Christ. I'm not going to be very compatible to Christ. I'm not going to be much of a friend to Christ until I know what He wants, what He's like. So I have to study about the person. Search the Scriptures to learn about Him. The more I know about Him, then the more I'll know what I have to do, what love has to do to make myself compatible. And I must also learn what it is He loves, primarily, and what He hates. What is it Christ hates? You thought about that? What does He hate? I tell you, if you're going to be compatible, you're going to have to hate what He hates. And you're going to have to love what He loves. But what does He hate and what does He love? I'm just leaving these open tonight for you to figure out. See, you'll figure them out if you want to be compatible. And if you don't, you won't. Father, we're thankful this night for the love that You have for us, but that's not the question we dealt with this night. We've dealt with our desire to be Your friend. And we know that You would prize our friendship, but only if it's built upon true friendship. And that is that we will seek to be compatible with You. And help us this night to realize that we're going to have to test our love, that nobody will do it for us. And we must answer the question ourselves, do I truly think thoughts that would prove that I am desiring to be the friend of Christ, that I'm desiring to be compatible? Do I spend much of my day thinking of ways that I can befriend You? May we answer that question day by day. What are we doing to make You happy? What are we doing that shows that we care about Your loves and Your hates? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.